This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Good morning. You know, often we come to church hoping for comfort, only to find Jesus leading us straight into the heart of discomfort. We arrive with the expectation of peace, of words that will soothe our spirits, but instead we encounter the unsettling figure of Jesus, the one who tells us to take up our cross and follow him. It's a strange thing, really, what happens in the Gospel of Mark. Picture the scene. Jesus walking with his disciples away from the towns and the crowds somewhere near Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is mostly a Gentile town in the Golan Heights region. It was originally named for one of the ancient gods and was renamed for the god of Pan, and later to Caesarea by Herod the Great's son Philip in order to honor Caesar Augustus. This is a place teeming with history. The gods of the past still linger in the air, the gods of Baal and Pan and Caesar himself. And against this backdrop of competing powers and ancient myths, Jesus turns to his disciples, those who've been walking with him and laughing with him, maybe even hoping that he'd be the one to fix their broken world. And he asks, "Who do people say that I am?" The answers come quickly. John the Baptist, Elijah, some of the other prophets. But then Jesus, as he often does, brings the question closer, more personal, more piercing even. "But who do you say that I am?" That's the question each of us has to answer sooner or later. Peter, gotta love Peter, ever bold, blurts out the answer, "Well, you're the Messiah." For a moment, you can almost feel that there's satisfaction. There's relief. They got it right. They finally see him for who he is. But then, just as quickly, Jesus begins to speak of suffering, about rejection and death, about taking up your cross. And just like that, the mood shifts. It's not the answer Peter expected. It's probably not the answer we were expecting. Because you see, Peter had a different Messiah in mind. A Messiah who would march into a city with power and strength, ready to overthrow the oppressors and set things right. But instead, Jesus speaks of crosses, of losing life to save it, of suffering not as a side note, but the very heart of what it means to follow him. In this exchange between Peter and Jesus, Mark shows us a Messiah that the disciples, and probably we, never planned to follow. They wanted glory, not the cross. And yet Jesus introduces a series of paradoxes that define the life of discipleship and challenge our understanding of identity and success. The first paradox is clear. Deny yourself, take up your cross. This teaching you will find in the three synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Discipleship at its core means letting go of the self, relinquishing control, and embracing the cross. And then comes the second paradox, even more unsettling. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for Jesus' sake will find it. You'll find that teaching in all four Gospels. It confronts us with the reality that the very act of trying to preserve our lives by clinging to power, comfort, security, the known, is the surest way to lose them. Conversely, it's only in letting go, in surrendering our lives for Christ, that we truly find life. The life of discipleship, then, is a life of paradox. As the early Christian community understood, these teachings were not optional, but fundamental to their faith. Jesus is calling us to embrace a way of living that turns the world's logic on its head. To find life, you must lose it. To be great, you must become the least. To follow Christ is to step into this upside-down kingdom, where losing is winning and the cross is the path to glory. Here, Jesus offers us something that goes against everything the world tells us. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And with that, he offers the great paradox of the Christian life. Deny yourself, discover Christ. It's in the letting go of our desires, our ambitions, our need for control, that we find the fullness of who Jesus really is. As we surrender our lives, we find that what we've lost was never really worth keeping, and what we gain is Christ himself. This, of course, isn't easy. It's easy to hear it in a sermon, but it's another thing entirely to live it out. Self-denial sounds like losing, like giving up everything that makes us who we are. But Jesus is not asking us to give up our true selves. He's inviting us to let go of the false selves that we've created, those parts of us that cling to status and security and self-reliance. It's a kind of surrender that leads to freedom. Dallas Willard explains this need for transformation when he writes, "The greatest need you and I have, and the greatest need of collective humanity, is renovation of our heart. That spiritual place within us, from which outlook, choices, and actions come, that has been formed by a world away from God. Now it must be transformed." It's not just actions, it's about transformation. And that transformation happens when we deny ourselves, not because Jesus wants to take something from us, but because he wants to give something far greater, himself. Peter, of course, doesn't like this idea. Who would? He pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him. It's the same temptation Jesus faced in the wilderness. The idea that power and success can come without pain, without the cross. But Jesus sees through it. "Get behind me, Satan." He says it not because he's angry with Peter, but because he knows how easy it is to want a different kind of Messiah. A Messiah who doesn't suffer, who doesn't ask us to follow him into the dark places of the world. Jesus calls Peter back to discipleship, back to the path of following him, even when that path leads to the cross. And what about us? We like to think we'd do better than Peter, that we wouldn't try to stop Jesus, we wouldn't resist the way of the cross. But if we're honest, we know the truth. We're not that much different from Peter. We want the glory without the pain, the life without the loss. Yet Jesus makes it clear there is no other way. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. It's a paradox. It's a mystery. It's the truth. To deny ourselves is to make room for Christ. It's to loosen our grip on what we think we need so we can receive the life he's offering. And that life, though it might come with sacrifice and hardship, is the only life worth living. We live in a world that tells us to hold on, to grab what we can, keep it close. And I want to quote now that great theologian, Charlie Brown, who once said, Winning ain't everything, but losing ain't anything. Winning ain't everything, but losing ain't anything. But Jesus offers us something different. He says the way to find life is to lose it. What does that mean? It means we stop trying to save ourselves. It means we stop trying to be our own gods. It means we take up the cross of love, of sacrifice, of surrender, and follow him wherever it leads. William Barclay reminds us that Jesus didn't want to die. He wasn't rushing to the cross, but he knew that the way up to life, real life, was through it. He knew that to refuse the cross was to refuse the very heart of what it means to be the Messiah. And so with courage and love, he walked the path, and he asked us to do the same. The world tells us to keep our lives, to guard them, to protect them. But Jesus tells us to let them go, to lose them for his sake. And in doing so, we find something better, something more beautiful, and something more true than we could ever imagine. Dallas Willard also writes, "The abundance of God to our lives, first of all, the righteousness of his order within us, an order that eventually will settle physical, social, and other issues as well. But we must start where we are and stand firm. In letting go of our plans, our control, we find something deeper, a life that is aligned with the goodness and righteousness of God's kingdom. So, my beloved, I'm asking you this morning, are you ready to start where you are and stand firm?" The question Jesus asked Peter is the same question he asked each of us. Who do you say that I am? It's not just about getting the right answer. It's about what we do with the answer. Will we follow the Messiah, even when he leads to the cross? Will we trust that in losing our lives, we will find them? This is the invitation of Jesus, to walk with him, to let go of everything we think we need, and discover the life that only he can give. It's not an easy path. It's not a path that promises comfort or security. But it's the path to life, true life. Deny yourself, discover Christ. And in discovering Christ, we find everything we ever needed. Amen.